This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Live Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth. I think this program is also valuable for all peoples because the principles that I preach and speak about here truly apply to every race, every ethnic group, every nation on the planet. I think we all people have a right to preserve their own heritage, their own way of life, to be independent and not be forced into any sort of national policy or domestic policy by other nations. I believe we all have the right to determine the form of government we live under, the right to determine the culture, the values, the religion, all the things that make up the core beliefs of our respective societies. And I think this is also true for Europeans as well as anyone else in the world. The liberal media is constantly talking about the right of, say, Indians in the remote sections of the Amazon to preserve their respective culture, their traditions, their values. And they talk about that for many peoples around the world. Well, the same principle certainly does apply to Europeans. Problem is that Europe and America has had an open border policy, a policy engineered by people who I think are enemies of the European heritage and value system. In fact, ironically, the people who have orchestrated this policy have been racial supremacists in their own right. In fact, they have followed the world's ultimate supremacism. And it may surprise a few people to hear this, but this group I call the Jewish extremists, not all Jews, but the extremist Jews who support the policies and programs of radical Judaism and extreme Jewish supremacism and Zionism. Now, the reason why I say this is a supremacist ideology is because, well, it is a supremacist ideology. Absolutely supremacist. The Talmud, which is the religious foundation of the Jewish people. In fact, Hermann Woke and many other Jewish writers often will tell you that the Talmud is truly the foundation of modern Judaism. The Torah is only of the first five books of the Bible. The Talmud is a work of many, many hundreds of books and tremendous commentary. And this is the thing that the Jewish people or the Jewish establishment studies more than anything else. Now, not all Jews are radical supremacists, but the Talmud itself is a very radically supremacist book. It basically teaches in more than one place, I'm not taking anything out of context, that non-Jews are in fact not human beings. They're not on the human level. That, again, may sound radical to some of the people listening, but sometimes they say even worse than that, in that non-Jews are unclean creatures, or even among some of the more radical Jewish groups, they call it that Gentiles are, quote, supernal refuse. It's amazing, yes, this incredible extremism, but it does exist. And Israel is itself a Jewish supremacist state, and I can offer quotes to you from the founder or the George Washington of Israel, Ben-Gurion, talking about how he believed in the superiority of the Jewish people to the people of the world. In fact, he even talked about that he believed that Israel would become the supreme seat of mankind, that all laws and rules would emanate from Israel. That's pretty radical. That's pretty messianic. And you look at the other Israeli policies. You know, the United States government and has worked very hard in the Supreme Court to overturn any of the old laws in the South that prohibited racial miscegenation or mixing between blacks and whites or marriage between blacks and whites. And yet, in Israel, it is illegal for a Jew to marry a non-Jew. In fact, in Israel, a Jew cannot even marry another Jew who is of impure Jewish blood. In other words, she has Gentile blood that goes back a certain number of generations. That is not all Jews. This is what they call the Kohanim. And this law, where the Kohanim, which is the Jewish priest class, cannot marry a Jew with somehow tainted Jewish blood. It's stronger, I think, than practically anything that existed in the South. But it's on the books right now, and it exists right now. And you can refer to many stories, and many press stories around the world that have talked about the fact that Jews have not been able to marry who face this predicament. And this is something upheld by the government. Of course, Israel has immigration policies that are limited strictly to Jewish people, and it's not so much religion, because a Jewish person who is a complete atheist or even anti-religious is allowed to immigrate to Israel and is set up by Israeli money. But a Palestinian, you know, who is born on Israeli soil, who was born there, and then, of course, terrorized and driven out of the country with the expulsions from 1948 onward, he can't even go back home to where he was born. Israel is a supremacist state, ladies and gentlemen, in many, many ways. Even though Palestinians are almost a quarter of the population of Israel, not one cabinet member of Israel is Palestinian. And imagine if there's never been an African-American cabinet member of America. And, you know, obviously, you know, we, of course, we seem to have now a African-American seat in the in the Department of State with Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. I mean, two people, by the way, who I think are very affirmative action Secretary of States. Colin Powell was one of these guys who had a C average in military academy. And he was not that distinguished, but he was minority, and he was in a fast track. He certainly is capable of speaking fairly well, but he's not a great original thinker. He's not been a great leader, and he might try to pass the buck on the Iraq problem, but he was suckered in just as much as many of the other people in government were suckered in by these neocons who tried to create and produce this Iraq war. So we have a double standard going on right now in the world, and it affects us in many, many ways. It basically, Europeans are losing our heritage and losing our rights, and we're also getting involved in these wars that are not really serving the interests of the people of the United States of America. They're not even protecting us from terrorism. Listen, if somebody was out there in the world and they were trying to bomb us or hurt us, I say go get them, you know, go get them with everything we've got and protect America. You know, I don't say randomly bomb some Christian or Muslim or religious festival because there might be a terrorist there we don't like. Any policeman, and we had this recent bombing in Damodola, which is a perfect example of the insanity of what's going on with our leaders. Our leaders have lost their minds. Any policeman that would bomb a school where a murderer was, a single murderer was, but bombing a school knowing that we would kill many of the teachers and the innocent children in the school. Any policeman that would do that, any law enforcement agent, any FBI agent, any military agent, any government agent that would do that would face murder charges if he knew he was going to kill those people. And because a murderer was in, you know, you don't burn down the barn to kill the rats. You know, you don't destroy everybody in a house. You don't gas the house with your children in it to kill cockroaches. You know, you get the kids out of the house before you set off the cockroach bomb in your place of dwelling. You know, we have such a tremendous, incredible double standard. I said it very well, I think, in one of the articles I did on davidduke.com, whereas imagine if Britain had a suspect from the subway bombing and they thought they were in Silver Spring, Maryland, at a community center at the Christian religious festival, and they knew they were going to be present there, so they decided to send a cruise missile from one of their attack submarines in the Atlantic into the Silver Spring festival, Christian festival, and they killed 10, you know, American women and children and wounded scores more. I think every American would be absolutely inflamed. Here we go into a country that's our ally, with a president that is enduring lots of unpopularity and lots of anger, even assassination attempts, because he has submitted himself or totally subjugated himself to the American policy, which is truly the neocon Israeli first policy of this country. And And we go make a bombing in his country. We kill women and children, supposedly to kill one of the aides of Osama bin Laden, and he's not even there. And all we've been reading about in the media is just as bad. I mean, the media is in every way just as evil, I think, as any of the actions that were done in Damodola in terms of this bombing, because there's been precious little outrage by the media, either in America or around the world. In fact, there's been lots of stories about whether or not these different, you know, Al-Qaeda people died there. There's been very little information, very little talk about the fact that a number of innocent men, women, and children died there. John McCain, you know, he made a statement, I think it was on Face the Nation on national television in America. He said that, well, you know, it's really unfortunate, but we got to go wherever the terrorists are. That's just it. You know, well, I'll tell you, if there were a couple of murderers in his church with his wife and children, he sure wouldn't order any bombing of that church to get that murderer. This is insane. And by the way, that kind of policy is only evil. It is a evil and a terrorist kind of policy. And that's precisely this kind of actions that are precisely the reasons why America is becoming so hated and why so many people around the world by the millions want to hurt us. And they see us really as the terrorist power. There was a recent study done in terms of Iraq, and they showed that in Iraq, the numbers of tortures, the numbers of abductions, the killings, the murders in Iraq is many times more now than they ever were under Saddam Hussein. That's the fact. That's the reality of it. But we're supposed to be telling the world that we're doing Iraq a favor by initiating the killing of 100,000 Iraqis. And of course, Iraq had no connection whatsoever with 9/11. It was not about defending America. And Saddam Hussein had no danger, represented no danger whatsoever to the United States. That's the fact of the matter. And everybody who has any knowledge of what happened in the Iraq War knows that to be the case. And even today, of course, it's admitted that the intelligence was wrong. Basically, America was lied to. It was lied to because the purpose of the attack was never about securing American security. It was about securing Israel's security. In fact, the primary perpetrators of the attack, Wolfowitz and Pearl, have been longtime radical Zionist supporters, Jewish supremacists extraordinaire, and Pearl, along with Wormser and other major neocons, even participated in writing a position paper for the very radical Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, where that was entitled A Clean Break, Strategy for Securing the Realm. And the realm they were talking about securing was Israel's realm. Well, America was not going to go fight a war with massive numbers of casualties and billions and billions and billions of dollars of expenditures, money that Americans need. Americans were not going to go fight this war for Israel, even in spite of all the propaganda they give us. But the only way they could convince the American people, or get American people to go along with this attack, the only way they could do it was basically to say that Iraq posed a threat to the American people, that American security was at stake. Therefore, it justified the expenditure of American tens of billions of dollars in American lives. And, of course, they lied to us also about the cost of the war. The Bush administration was telling us in the beginning that the war cost $50 or $60 billion. Well, the basic price tag now has gone upwards of $280 billion. And if you look at the long-term studies in terms of medical care for the many tens of thousands who are wounded and harmed and mentally, in fact, inflicted from this conflict, it's going to be in the trillions of dollars. That's right, trillions of dollars. The cost is enormous. There's enough money that's going to be wasted from the American economy in this war over the next few years to finance health care for all those American working people who can't afford medical insurance. They would be able to afford it to finance the education of all the American students who cannot afford college today, or they're saddled with such loans that they can often never pay them back, especially when the government outsources their jobs to countries overseas. And this conflict has already cost 2,280 lives, and it's going toward 3,000, 4,000, and probably it will be upwards of 30 to 40,000 directly injured, and many more than that who have mental problems because of it. The Pentagon is suggesting that about 30% of those men and women who serve in Iraq have serious mental problems after the war that require professional help. And that's the Pentagon's own figures. And this is going to cost trillions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen. All you got to do is extrapolate the cost of the men who served, for instance, in Desert Storm and the original Gulf War, and with this war. And yet this war, these men are stationed there for many months, and you know, and again, the casualty rates are much greater. And you don't be fooled by the death rate, because that's usually what they talk about, the number of dead. The number of injured is a far more important figure, because today, with modern medical science, you're able to keep a body alive much more effectively than you were in previous wars. And often these people they're keeping alive have very limited mental facilities. Often they have terribly crippling injuries and amputations and emasculations and terrible burns and disfigurement. And these men are going to be paying for these lies of this war and this manipulation of America for all of their lives. Many of them will have shortened lives. Their families will pay a terrible price. Indeed, America will pay a terrible price. And these men, you know, they're brave men and they're very good men, and they were willing to sacrifice themselves and risk their life and limb for the well-being and the safety and security and the freedom of America. And God bless them all. But what's happened, ladies and gentlemen, is that they were lied to, and America's been lied to. And that, to me, is the greatest betrayal ever of the American soldier. And to me, that's the greatest treason. To me, that is a more heinous act than anything a scoundrel like Osama bin Laden can do. When the President of the United States lies to our troops and puts them into harm's way for a lie or for political advantage or for the interests of another country over his own, that to me is a tremendous betrayal. And I see that betrayal. I also see a terrible destruction of the moralities and the values of this country. When I grew up as a young man, I really believed, and I was taught from the beginning, that America doesn't torture people. That's the realm of the Marxists and the Bolsheviks of Russia. And I was taught as a child that was the realm of the Nazis in Germany. Well, you know, again, I think somewhat history has been revised on a lot of this today. But I can tell you, America now is engaging in these kinds of practices on a wholesale basis. I mean, what else do you call it when the President of the United States says that he doesn't want to sign a bill that would prohibit torture? What does it say when we find out that there's been secret torture chambers and torture prisons in many of the countries that used to comprise part of the old Soviet Union, the old Bolshevik apparatus that tortured and murdered many, many millions of people? By the way, that's a human atrocity and a human catastrophe that's not talked about much in our media, whether it be entertainment, whether it be movies, whether it be broadcast or stories or magazine articles or plays. You don't hear much about the tens of millions of people slaughtered in the gulags of the Bolshevik camps and institutions. You do hear a lot about the 6 million, about the Holocaust. That's become a household word. It's a trademarked word, and you can't even deal with it. And in fact, in this country, you even face a situation in Europe today, Eastern and Western Europe, you have a situation where if many people even question any historical aspects of the so-called Holocaust, they can go to prison. In fact, we have a situation in France where a member of the EU, a fantastically brilliant professor by the name of Bruno Gollnisch, a man I know well, who was a professor at Lyon University, professor of classics, and he serves in the EU. He's an elected representative in the European Parliament. And he was stripped of his immunity because he simply said that historians should have a right to debate these issues and not have to fear imprisonment if they say a politically incorrect utterance about the Holocaust. And for that, he faces possible imprisonment in France. We have the case of historian David Irving, a very great man, another man that I know well. And I spent a few weeks with David Irving in the same apartment, believe it or not, and while I was writing some of my awakening. And it was a very interesting time. He's not the easiest guy to get along with, but that's because the guy is great. I mean, he is very opinionated. He states his opinion. He's courageous, and he's strong. And sometimes when you have strong-willed people, they don't get along all that great. Well, we got along fine. We're still friends. And we even had some competitive matches at tennis and other sports. We are still friends today. And David Irving, again, he's right now sitting in prison in Austria. He's sitting in a maximum security prison. This man is an historian. His books are in almost every library of the world. But he faces a possible 20-year sentence. 20-year sentence. Simply for saying certain things about the Holocaust that are not the dogma, you know, of the government. Another good example. Let's take an example of that freedom of speech and the hypocrisy going on right now in Europe and other places of the world. Turkey recently dropped charges against the novelist, and that's pretty interesting. A novelist in Turkey was charged with insulting Turkishness, okay, and it was a very high profile trial and everything, and in the West there was tremendous opposition to Turkey about this and anger in Turkey about this. Well, I don't think a novelist should go to jail either for stating his opinion. That's the basis nessus of freedom of speech. But how in the world can Europe get upset about a novelist who attacked, quote, Turkishness? How can they get upset about that if we have historians being thrown in prison in places like Austria for, quote, insulting the memory of the dead or something like that, or simply, lessening the official scope of the Holocaust? You know, if you argue that there's one less victim than the official version of the story, you can go to jail for 20 years. That's essentially what that law states. That's not freedom. We have a situation with a very fine man, another man that I know very well, and that's Nick Griffin, who's head of the British National Party. He faces up to 7 years in prison in Britain for basically disparaging some aspects of the Muslim religion. Well, let me tell you something. Christianity is disparaged every day. You know, I mean, it's there. You can see it in the media. Many other religions are disparaged. And I might not agree with what Nick Griffin said about certain aspects of what he said about Islam. I don't think there's any more evil about Islam than any other, you know, religion. I think that there's aspects of superstition probably in all faiths to a degree. And people can take certain lines out of every faith a certain way. But to put a man in prison for uttering his opinion is amazing. And it's kind of interesting, the trial is showing that Nick is facing 7 years, but one of the things that he said in the speech was that the terrorists that are coming up, who are radical Islamics, Islamic extremists, just as the Jewish supremacists, there we have some radicals and extremists, that they will bring terrorism to Britain, and they'll probably be born in Britain, and that they'll probably launch their plots right here from places like Bradford. Well, he was absolutely correct. And it turned out to be totally prophetic, and I wonder how that might have affected the jurors as they heard and they saw his speeches where he warned precisely a year before the subway attack, the 7/7 attacks, he warned precisely that this might happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been good to be with you today. I don't have very much time today. We've got a slow internet connection, so I want to upload this program so you can all listen to it very, very soon. I know some of you missed the first part of the show. So let me get off and go ahead and do that. And don't make the show too long so it can upload quickly. And I will be with you tomorrow. I look forward to being with you. I'm in Eastern Europe right now. There's a lot of power failures now because of record coal. It's been as low as 38 degrees below zero centigrade. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is extremely cold. It's caused a lot of power shortages because people are using electric heaters and other ways to try to supplement the heat in their apartments and buildings and other facilities. A lot of the buildings have lost the ambient heat in them because after a few days of sub-zero temperatures, in fact, the temperatures have been at least 15 degrees below zero centigrade for now, for a period of night and day, for a period of over a week, I think about 10 days. That's incredible. And it just takes all the resident heat, all the built-up heat out of facilities, and things get respectively colder and colder. There's been a lot of energy crisis. So my high-speed internet is out right now, so I'm going to go ahead and upload this program so you can get it. If you like the show, please spread it around and let more of your people, more of our people hear it and see it and understand what the issues are. This movement is not about suppressing others who would disagree with us. I'm not like those individuals who are my enemies, who would like to lock me in prison like they're trying to do so in some European countries today, where, you know, the government of the United States doesn't particularly like me either. They've made their efforts, obviously, against me. I'm not like those individuals. I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in freedom of press. I believe in freedom of conscience. I believe in freedom of expression. And really interesting, isn't it? When we have a situation when the rankest forms of pornography, I mean, plumbing the depths of human degradation, everything from excretion and elimination of human waste and others, I mean, it's just unbelievable the kind of pornographic garbage that it seems Europe and the world's deluged with today. That's legal. But a person echoing a political sentiment that's unpopular, or criticizing a religion, or, you know, whatever, offering an opinion about a political process or an historical event, to put these people in prison. Another good friend who I've spent some great times with, and we've had a lot of wonderful conversations, is Guillermo Rudolf, and he's now in prison in Germany, 5-year sentence. And you know what? He's got a wife in America, a small baby. He was really stripped of his residency in the United States simply because of his politics, no question about it. And here's a man who was getting his doctoral degree in chemistry, who's never been violent in any way improper, simply for having different ideas and doing a chemical analysis of some of the Holocaust issues. He is now in prison, and he's in prison not in a, just like a low security prison. He's in prison in a maximum security prison, the same prison in Germany where they put terrorists and murderers and mass murderers and all the rest of it. And that's, you know, a good example. You see, that is a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where freedom is at stake and freedom is being destroyed. And I can tell you, not only should people support our cause for the principles we believe in, the preservation of our heritage and way of life, but also for freedom. Because if we don't win, if people of my persuasion don't win in this fight, even people like Nick Griffin, who said things certainly disparaging about other people, but Nick Griffin also believes in freedom. I believe in freedom. Guillermo Rudolf believes in freedom. Ernst Sundell believes in freedom. David Irving believes in freedom. And the people who control our governments and media, they say they believe in freedom. George Bush says that he believes in freedom. That's why we're in this war against Iraq, because we believe in freedom. But it's all as much BS as those cow pies that you'll find in the pastures. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been good to be with you, and I'll be with you tomorrow spreading the word, spreading the truth. And until then, I just want to tell you God bless you and take care, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information, and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.